views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. If you're listening live, you might be listening here in Seattle on 1150 AM KKNW or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. If you're listening after the fact, it might be on ChristineUpchurch.com or one of the 50 different podcasts and stations this ends up in. But wherever and whenever you're joining us here, so grateful to have you here. And before we introduce our guest, I want to say hello to the man behind the technology, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, Christine. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm feeling much better now. You brought me in some goodies.
Yes, I did.
Now, for all of our listeners, every year you bring me a bag, and I've been waiting so patiently for this bag of the pecans.
They are, and if you're from Texas, you call them pecans.
Oh, right. Sorry, pecans.
But it depends on what part of the country you are, but they're still the same nut.
Yeah, and, exactly like me. I'm the same nut. Hey-o.
I use coconut oil and Himalayan pink salt, and mm-hmm. I toast them, and a lot of people do look forward to having them.
So it's an amazing treat. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
I remember last year it was a smaller bag. I ripped through it so fast, uh-huh. and so this year it's a little bit bigger, so now I can take my time.
Your boys are bigger, too, now.
They don't get any of these. Uh-uh. They're all moi. They're
I
me.
Love it.
Thank you very much.
It. You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm excited about our guest today because she looks at this issue of creating abundance in a different sort of way. And I tell you, when you've been doing the show as long as I have, when you've been on your psycho-spiritual journey for as long as I've been on mine, seeing something different is very intriguing. And I think it may be helpful for all of you. Our guest today is Ellen Grace O'Brien. She's the director of the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment in San Jose, California, and she's got a great story about how that came about. I'm not sure if I'm going to get these pronunciations right. She's a yogacharya, an esteemed yoga teacher. She's a radio host. She's an award-winning poet who weaves poetry into her teachings on spiritual matters, pointing to the mystical experience beyond words and thought. She's ordained by a direct disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda, and she's been teaching Kriya Yoga, I'm probably getting these all wrong, Kriya Yoga philosophy and practical nationally and internationally for over 3 decades. And she's the author of a new book that's absolutely fascinating called The Jewel of Abundance. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Ellen Grace O'Brien. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Christine. Thank you so much. And you did great on all those Sanskrit words. They were fabulous.
Well, it's funny, you know, I've been in many a yoga class and heard the Sanskrit words. And if I'm in that zone, it's like, okay, well, there it is. And that feels, you know, right. But actually looking at them on paper and reading them, it's a whole other story.
Well, you're a natural.
Oh, thank you. You know, Ellen, I am fascinated by this concept of linking yoga and abundance. But first of all, I want you to share with our listeners what your perspective of yoga is, because I think many think of yoga as the physical positions we get into when we're doing the exercise, so-called exercise of yoga.
Yeah, that's really common, of course, particularly in the West, but really worldwide, you know, that people are thinking of yoga as a form of exercise. They're practicing asana or postures. Uh-huh. But in the spiritual tradition that is yoga, asana is really a fairly small part. And its purpose is actually to balance the energy in the body and mind so that we can experience directly our essence of being. Uh-huh. And so yoga is, I have studied it and practiced it in that classic philosophical path, which is a path of self and God realization, a way to directly experience the truth of your being.
Uh-huh.
So it's a path and it's a practice, right. Both.
And when you say it's about balancing the energy of our being, and, you know, being somebody who's done energy healing for, you know, a decade and a half, who understands that it's our energy that creates our manifestations, what we get drawn, what gets drawn into our lives, that makes perfect sense, because that, you know, as we influence our energy, we're going to influence what flows into our lives.
Absolutely. And so I think more and more people are discovering that about hatha yoga practice, about the asana,
uh-huh.
that it really is about balance and about clearing the mind and opening up the energy in the body-mind vehicle. That's why people feel so lovely, you know, when they do it, ideally, if they're practicing it, you know, consciously and not so much aerobically,
right.
they'll feel, you know, a sense of peace.
Yeah.
Which is lovely, and that's its purpose. When you read the classical texts of Raja Yoga, they say that the physical postures or asanas are really for the purpose of meditation. They're to prepare uh-huh. you for meditation.
Right.
And there's nothing that I know of that talks about preparing us for great abs.
You know,
even though, you know, that's a wonderful thing.
Uh-huh. Right, right. And it's funny, because I often think in terms of what I call the vibration of change, which is a program that I teach, and I'll eventually be writing a book about that. But it's the importance of energetically being in the present moment, that's the powerful place of you know, launching our change. And what you're talking about, that inner peace that we feel, whether it's, you know, through the asanas or through meditation, that can bring us completely into the moment and that surrender into what is.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a beautiful teaching in classical yoga that we find in, and I do talk about this in the book, we find it in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, which is the primary philosophical text, you
uh-huh.
know, for people who are practicing this philosophy of yoga as a meditation path. It starts off with the word, the Sanskrit word is atta, which means now.
Yes.
Now the practice of yoga begins.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that phrase can seem like one you would just go past, you know, mm-hmm. that it's like, okay, now we're going to get started, right?
Right, get to it, yes.
But that word is considered in the Sanskrit language, is considered also to point to the auspiciousness of the moment.
Uh-huh.
And so when I hear you talk about that, you know, energy that brings you into the moment, and that is really our yoga moment. It's the moment when we're fully present,
right.
and we can experience our aliveness. So mm-hmm. it's a prospering moment. It's a healing moment, because that's a moment of full aliveness.
Yes. So what does this have to do with creating abundance in our lives?
It's actually the experience of our own abundance. So in a way, I would say it a little differently, in
mm-hmm.
that we don't actually create abundance. We don't have to,
uh-huh.
Because it's already present.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we are already full. We are already, and by that I mean we are whole.
Mm.
We are not, you know, separate from the source, which is complete in all its fullness. And
yes.
So when we have a way of experiencing that directly, we know our own fullness, our own wholeness, our own abundance. And then what we do and what we experience comes out of that.
Mm.
And then, you know, we're in a position to attract to us, you know, what is needed you know, to manifest that in the physical realm.
Right. So, in terms of the wholeness, how is it we come to forget that we are everything, or we have access to everything, that we are a part of the whole? And why do we have to remember it?
That's the big question. The big question, you know, why? Why is it like this? Well, the only thing, and, you know, the different spiritual traditions talk about that, you know, differently. People always want to know the answer to that question. You know, why is it like that? You know, why are we spiritual beings who come into the world and then we forget we're spiritual beings and we think we are a body-mind who has a soul instead of knowing that we're the soul operating through the body-mind?
Sure.
And, you know, according to the philosophy of yoga, that error happens because we become identified with the body and mind, you know, through the facility of mind, through the function of the mind, we actually make that error of superimposing the consciousness of the self onto the mind. And so we believe we are the thoughts that we think. You know, we think that is consciousness, but according to yoga philosophy, no, there is consciousness itself, which is beyond mind, and it is the light of awareness that allows the mind to function. But we get that turned around because we narrow our focus, and then we become identified with the body and the mind.
Is there some power in the unlearning of that that serves us on our soul's journey?
I think it all serves us, don't you?
I do. Yes, I do.
You know, it's this path of waking up and remembering, you know, I mean, some people talk about, you know, how children are so close to the source, you know, they come in and you can see, you know, prior to ego development that they're just, they're a lot in the now, right?
Absolutely,
But they are not, they don't have the self-awareness or the self-development. And so there is that journey that we go on that is the development of the self, the development of the ego. But then, you know, there is the opportunity of spiritual awakening where we actually can surrender that ego identification. Even though a child is close to the source and in the moment, they don't have that conscious awareness at that juncture, you know, to be able
to
do that.
That makes sense. We have to go to a quick break, but when we return, you're going to learn more about how to find prosperity through the ancient wisdom of yoga with Ellen Grace O'Brien. Stay tuned.
This is Peggy Snow, practitioner at Stellar Reflections with a Stellar Reflections Minute. So many people these days are trying to find ways to relieve their stress. What happens to our breathing when we're feeling overwhelmed and stress? When we tune in, we realize that we're either holding our breath or taking very shallow breath. To signal the body that all is well, which most of the time it is, sometimes all that is needed is a nice, deep breath to break the cycle. First, exhale to get all the stale air out by engaging the abdominal muscles and blowing gently. Next, take a nice, full breath in, feeling it fill your body all the way down to your hips. Release fully and enjoy the freedom of movement. Notice how your body feels. Do you feel refreshed? Calmness is only a breath away. This has been a Stellar Reflections Minute. For more information about what we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla-Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. And that was the wonderful Michael Tomlinson, who has been on the show before. And he has a new CD out right now, a new holiday CD. Go to MichaelTomlinson.com. You won't be disappointed. He's an amazing musician, an amazing human being. And who he is comes through the vibration of his music as well.
We need to get him back.
We do, and I invited him, but he's like, gotta wait until these things are done, you know?
The Christine Upchurch Show should be high enough on the pedestal there, the list of things to do.
Well, he's working on a meditation CD as well,
right.
And I think he wants to have that completed before he comes onto the show.
Okay, we'll be second on the list then.
Yes, we will. Oh, you know, I'm really enjoying my conversation today with Ellen Grace O'Brien, and we're learning about the magic that can occur in allowing the abundance to flow towards us into our lives when we approach it differently. And you know, Ellen, I think that there are many people who think in terms of, say, The Secret, you know, say, oh, I want to manifest $100,000 or that red car, whatever. And that can be fun, kind of like from a scientific perspective. Let's see what I can manifest. I want to manifest, you know, a red rose or whatever. But you approach it differently, and you say that there's another really important ingredient to, you know, the abundance. What is that?
Well, this way of looking at it looks at wealth or abundance in the context of what in Vedic teachings are called the Purusharthas, which means, literally translated, I love this, for the sake of the soul. Mm-hmm. And is the four universal aims of life, you know, for living a fulfilled, spiritually conscious, generative life,
mm-hmm.
and fulfilling, you know, our potential. And the first goal is really the foundational goal, and that's dharma, which is, mm-hmm. you know, we could translate it as living with higher purpose,
mm-hmm.
you know, fulfilling your divine potential. And the second goal is wealth. That's artha. That's what my book is about. But so what I would say in answer to your question is what's perhaps different is that wealth is not looked at for its own sake.
Mm-hmm.
It's looked at in partnership with our living with higher purpose and doing what we came here to do. It's looked at as a vehicle for that and not in isolation and connected with that. And so I do want to mention the third goal because it's one that we should always say amen and be really happy about.
Uh-huh.
And that goal is kama or pleasure. So to enjoy our life. And that is critical because it's about learning how to stay connected to our innate joy,
mm.
you know, to ananda or bliss. You know, we see that lovely teaching in Christian scriptures, you know, what does it profit mm-hmm. you if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? So losing your soul, you know, is losing that joy. And the
right.
fourth goal is moksha or liberation. liberation of consciousness, the enlightenment in this lifetime. So those two goals, dharma and moksha, which are living a fully spiritually conscious life, are the guides or constraints for wealth and pleasure. They put them in the right perspective.
Right.
You know, if we had wealth and pleasure at the top of our list, it's likely we would never get around to looking at our spiritual purpose.
And
of course, that's a lot what happens in the world, right?
Sure, absolutely. And I think in terms of if we're trying to, say, manifest $100,000 versus manifest the publication of a book that we feel will be expressing ourselves more fully and contributing to the world, that the energy between those two things is very different.
Yes, it's important, I think, to look at what it is that we're inspired to do in terms of that bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how will it serve? And, you know, it might be in a small or a great way, but that's a critical question. So
mm-hmm.
I'm really glad you brought that up.
Yeah, and it's funny because for me on my journey, I recently, you know, I will often sort of ask the question to the powers that be, to, you know, universal wisdom, how can I help? It's shifted me on my path several times. And I thought, for instance, that I would be an energy healing teacher for the rest of my life. And over the last several years, it's like, no, you need to go that direction instead. And I thought, well, I will always be within the field of consciousness. And yet I've been guided to create an online series of classes regarding being a guest on radio shows, which I never expected to do. But it's like the purpose for me, there's a higher purpose, but in terms of how it manifests or how I'm choosing to manifest it, it changes dramatically for me over the years.
Well, and I think that shows your aliveness and your actual unfolding of your prosperity, because that's the way it is. You know, I think one of the critical mistakes that people make is when they think of dharma,
uh-huh.
and I do talk about this in the book and have some, you know, ways for exploring this, but when they think of dharma and they think of purpose, mm-hmm. the first thing that comes up is, well, what should I do? You
right,
know, what is
right.
my what is my dharma? You know, like
yes.
a thing.
Like a career or something, yes.
Exactly, like a career, and has us looking outside of ourselves and
uh-huh.
thinking, oh, you know, my friend started a nonprofit, I should do that.
Or, right, you know, right.
That, but the way I see it, our dharma is really the unfoldment of our divine potential, and vocation, you know, will come out of that. It's not the start. It's not the starting place.
Uh-huh.
So it's looking at, you know, what are those divine qualities that, you know, have always been with us, you know,
right.
like in seed form. And I often tell people to look back into their childhood and see, you know, what did you feel deeply about as a child? You know,
mm-hmm.
what were the games that you were involved in? What were some of the qualities that started showing up in your life early on?
Right.
And people often find that as they're developing their prospering potential, as they're following that prosperity imperative, that those divine gifts come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like doing one thing, you know, but it's allowing those divine qualities to be expressed. And I'm guessing that's probably true with you, too.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've discovered, you know, often the hard way, is that in order to find our divine purpose, you know, however we define that, whether it's, you know, devoting our time, energy, and love to a family or a particular career, however it is expressing, you know, our authentic self, that we have to get comfortable with letting go of what does not serve us or what really isn't our fullest expression. How do we deal with that?
I think there's a certain quality of fearlessness that's necessary to be cultivated. And in many ways, I see that as the purpose of our spiritual practice.
Mm, yeah.
That, you know, for meditator, you learn how to observe your thoughts.
Right.
And you can have some distance from them.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be run by those fear thoughts anymore. And, you know, will you still feel fearful? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Will you still have doubts? Yes.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you no longer have to let them be in charge. And sometimes, you know, we get to see how they've held us back.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes for decades based on personal experience. And yet, you know, for me, they've served a purpose. Being stuck in some sort of a linear perspective, westernized perspective, being stuck is a really bad thing. And yet I learned what I needed to learn in spades because it lasted for so long. So I know you've got a really amazing story of how you've embraced some of these concepts to manifest the center that you have now. And I'm going to want you to share that with our listeners because it's an absolutely beautiful story about stepping through fear and trusting. But we're going to go to a quick break, but stay tuned for more about the Jewel of Abundance.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on 1150 AM KKNW and TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm talking today with author and spiritual teacher Ellen Grace O'Brien, The Jewel of Abundance. Now, Ellen, you tell the story in your book about how you knew that you were meant to teach some of the things that you talk about in the book and that we're talking about today and many other things. And you talk about the various locations you stayed in for a while and you were looking for a center. Can you please share with our listeners that story? Because it's an amazing story of what happens when we step through fear and trust.
Yeah, thank you for that invitation. There were many years when I was teaching. I'm a director of a meditation center. We have many services, you know, classes, programs, that kind of thing. And we, for years, rented places, which that's never too great for a meditation center because you don't necessarily get as much control of the things going on around you.
Yes,
in a predictable way to be able to meditate. So,
right.
So our our community started dreaming, of a place that would be ideal, for meditation, sort of like a garden setting, and all the things that went with it. Really started with the vision, but even before that visioning process, I had to do my inner work about being willing, to take that step. And
right.
So I just want to say that because that's a big part of it, right?
So,
where we say, okay, I'm willing. And for me, it was being willing to one, take on that responsibility, and two, actually be seen, which sounds really strange.
No, it doesn't sound strange at all.
If you're leading an organization, you'd think you'd want to be seen, but my nature is rather introverted. But so I had to kind of get over myself to be willing to do that. And our center's in California. It's in Silicon Valley, which, is like equal to one of the most expensive places to live in the United States. So our community got willing. We were just a small group of people at that time. We got ready. We had a fundraising drive, and we raised $10,000to buy property in Silicon Valley.
That's not much.
And then we had, somebody donate a match to that. So we had $20,000. We went looking for property, and someone found a property that actually had been owned by Unity Church, had been built by them. So there was a temple, a church on the property. There was a beautiful mansion where they had, a 5,000 square foot building where they had offices, and another building where they had youth program. I mean, it was gorgeous. And stepping onto the land, it was just perfect for us. It's in an area of San Jose, California called the Rose Garden. That is one of the most beautiful areas, also one of the most expensive. So we went looking with $20,000 in our pocket, and I, went with the board of directors, and the property was in need of a lot of work. The buildings are now 100 years old.
Oh my goodness!
Makes them really beautiful, old kind of Spanish style architecture, tile roofs, and all that. Gorgeous. But when we went, in need of repair. So the board, looked at the crack in the basement, the leak in the ceiling. I said, oh, my gosh, you could get baptized on a rainy day just walking into the temple.
Oh, dear.
The water coming in. So the board, saw the price tag, which was $2 million.
Whoa.
And they saw the needed repairs and knew it was going to be more than that. And I saw the vision of what it could be and how perfect the location was for our work.
It's to serve the community.
Yeah, to serve and to fulfill this vision of a place that would be like an oasis of peace for people when they just walked onto those grounds. So I ended up asking the board. The board did their fiscal responsibility and said, we can't afford this. And even if we did, it's a huge responsibility to take on all this. And I said, I really appreciated that. And then I asked them, I said, if it wasn't for the money, would this be our place? And they all said, yes, absolutely. So I said, okay, then we have to figure out how we move into this place.
Wow.
And so that was a turning point of just recognizing, that that didn't have to be a stop. And we had this whole story that was building up around the money. And so I just said, well, if we take that off the table, is it the right place for us to be, and will it serve? And the answer was yes. And so as it turned out, after that yes of that willingness and seeing the vision, someone came forward and donated all of the money for the for the center.
Wow.
You know, $2 million and paid it off. And it wasn't somebody who wanted anything. You know, sometimes there's a gift and it has a string.
Sure.
This wasn't, it wasn't a person who wanted to be known, wanted no acknowledgement, also didn't want any part of running it or want their name on anything or having to have an agenda. It was simply a gift.
That's amazing.
Isn't it lovely?
Yes. So how long was it between that meeting you had with the directors and you said, well, let's just consider for a minute if we take money off the table to actually having the money in order to be able to afford it?
Oh, not long. I mean, and that happened within a few weeks' time. But there were years prior to that of inner work.
Right.
Getting ready to make that kind of a change. So when it happened, it seemed like it happened very quickly, but there was a lot of groundwork being done. So it was like a seed that had been planted in the ground and was being nurtured, and that was in consciousness. Like I said, for me, I had to become willing. You know, the place that we had rented was sort of in a big, like an office complex, you know, that had nine buildings, and we were in the ninth building all the way in the back. Mm-hmm. They didn't allow us to have signage.
Oh, dear.
And so I used to say, you know, that I dared people to find us.
That's an amazing change to
go to a place that was actually, you know, facing a main thoroughfare, to have a sign out front.
Right.
And to stand up and for me as the leader of the community to take my place.
So you were showing up in a really huge way to move your dream forward.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Trying to do my best to cooperate with the infinite, which, you know, that's the premise in my book, you know, that there is this energy, there's an intentionality, you know, which I call the prosperity imperative, that is pressing upon us all, you know, to express this fullness, these gifts, you know, through us and contribute to the well-being of all. And so it's really learning how to cooperate with that. You know, my teacher has a beautiful way of saying it. He says, there's an enlivening power that nurtures the universe, and we can learn how to cooperate with it.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that great?
Yes. So how do you define prosperity?
I define prosperity as living our fullness. Mm. And by that, I mean living with awareness and expressing our potential in all areas of our life. So it's in our relationships, it's in our finances, it's in our spiritual life, it's in our body, mind. So for me, prosperity is to thrive and to prosper and to be successful in living our fullness, expressing ourselves fully. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And that's different than the westernized perspective on prosperity.
Oh, yeah, that's so limiting, though, isn't it?
It is.
It's about money and things. But, you know, we all know better than that. Uh-huh. You know, we know that that is not the source of our happiness, and we see it. Although, you know, our culture and the way that we train our children in schools is generally about getting a job and acquiring things so that then you'll be happy, and then, you know, most will get to the somewhere in their adult life and they go, wait a minute, this isn't it, you know?
I think that you probably hang out with a whole lot of enlightened people to think that most people don't perceive financial wealth, connect that to happiness, because I think there are a lot of people in our culture who think that if they can attain a certain value, certain financial level, then they will be happy.
Yeah, it's true. There is that prevailing thought. And, you know, there is some, of course, there's some truth to there, that there's a basic level of material wealth that makes life a whole lot easier.
Of course.
You know, if you're trying to put food on the table for your kids. You know, the life is really a struggle and it's really hard. But beyond a certain income level, just to add more and more at a, you know, material goods and wealth does not add to our happiness or our sense of ease. And in fact, you know, it can create more problems for people. And that's what I mean. That's what we see. We certainly have seen stories, you know, of people who are, you know, super wealthy and, you know, super unhappy.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Ellen Grace O'Brien. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns and certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with Cornelia Stephanie VIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolve, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Ellen, before we go any further in our conversation, which I'm enjoying thoroughly, I want you to share with our listeners how they can connect with you. What's your website? Are you going to be visiting Seattle for those of us who are here in the Seattle area? And, you know, what sorts of events you have coming up?
Thank you so much. Yeah, you can find out about the book, about me, and about where I'm going to be on my author website, and that is Ellen Grace O'Brien, and it's O'Brien with an A, O-B-R-I-A-N.com, ellengraceobrien.com. There's a tab there on the homepage that is events, and you can see where I'll be across. I'm going across the U.S. in 2019 with this book and have some intensive retreats in different cities and talks. But I will be in your area in Seattle in March, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be offering a talk at the Interfaith Community Sanctuary there in the Ballard area.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I will be at East West Bookshop.
Uh-huh. We love East West.
Yeah, that'll be on the 13th of March. And then from the 14th to the 17th, I'll be one of the keynote speakers at the Spiritual Directors International Conference in Bellevue. And that's going to be really fun. And I'll be teaching about Vedic counseling. And there's all kinds of workshops going on there. So that will be at Spiritual Directors International Conference. So that's all in March. And I look forward to it. Maybe I'll get to meet you, Christine. That would be great.
I would love that. It depends on the timing. I know I have to travel a couple of times in March. I'll look at the dates. But if I'm in town, absolutely. And by the way, the studio here is in Bellevue. So you'll
great.
Be very close. And great. It sounds like a great, great opportunity to connect with Ellen and get your book signed, because you should get this book. It's fascinating. If you have felt frustrated with welcoming prosperity into your life in one way or another, I encourage you to get the book. Now, Ellen, this hour is flying by. There's one thing that you talk about that I believe is so important, and that is the connection between surrendering and real prosperity. What is that connection, and why is surrender important?
Yeah, there's a section in the book. It's called Surrender, Surrender, Surrender.
Yes.
And it's a really important topic, of course, because generally that concept is either misunderstood or mysterious. You know, it's misunderstood, you know, often in general terms as defeat, right?
Uh-huh, right.
And then on the spiritual path, people, I think, understand the idea of it, but it's like mysterious of, you know, how to do it.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And on the yoga path, surrender, it means giving up the illusion of a separate self, giving up the idea that we're out here on our own struggling to get by.
Right.
So you can see why giving up that idea would be foundational to prospering.
Sure.
With regard to how to do it, you know, I offer strategy that I've used over the years, which is, you know, when we come from our limited mindset and from the egoic perspective, it's usually hard. We're usually working hard. We're struggling.
Yes, struggle's a big part of that. Absolutely.
Exactly. And life can feel like a burden. Mm-hmm. And so I usually say, okay, look, if you want to work on surrender, look at any area in your life where you feel that you are burdened, you know, that you're struggling.
Right.
And then ask yourself, what would it be like if I let go of the struggle?
Okay, so give us an example.
Well, sometimes, you know, say you're working in a job, you know, and you're trying to get a particular result, and you're working hard, you're pushing hard. And you can ask yourself that question, you know, what would it look like if I let go of the struggle?
Mm-hmm.
And then there, I think, is this experience of, I don't have to do it that way.
Right.
You know, I can still do it, but in a way that is sweeter, in a way that's more enjoyable.
Right.
And, I mean, that happened to me when I was working on the book, because, you know, with books you have deadlines.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I found myself kind of getting into this mode of struggle and even complaint. I mean, here I was doing work that I really wanted to do, but I got kind of stuck in that mindset of, you know, delivering a product on time and, you know.
Oh, my goodness, you're human.
Yeah. And so then I said, you know, I'm making myself unhappy about this, and I actually don't need to do that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I can just think about it in a different way, like, you know, remembering this is what I'm choosing to do with my life, and what a blessing that I get to do it.
Yes.
And, you know, just transforming the way that we're going about something. So that can be a surrender moment.
Yes. And I know that I did it in my dysfunctional marriage as well. It's like I struggled for a long time to fix things. I struggled with my emotions about it. I spent time in therapy. I did a lot of conscious inner work. And finally, it's kind of like, no, I'm just going to let go and I'm going to observe. It was this weird, sudden transition, although it was kind of a lifetime of transitioning. And it illuminated for me what was truth and what wasn't. And it allowed me to be better informed about making the right choice.
Oh, totally. That is such a beautiful description, Christine. So, you know, what I see, the way you've described it, of course, is the way I see it happening, is that when we're in that struggle mode, we're really in ego mode, you know, feeling like we have to make something work.
Yes.
And, you know, it's kind of me and mine and I.
Uh-huh.
And then,
or even the world's judgment of us. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when we drop that, it takes us back to the self, back to the ability to be in witness mode, and back to the ability to know our truth and to find our power.
Right. Yes. And that power doesn't exist within the struggle, at least not very effective power.
No, it's just like a little trickle, isn't it?
It is. And we're pushing against, which is really never the best approach to creating something new.
No.
Yeah. You know, we just got another couple of minutes here. You've put so much into this book, and I know that when I've been reading through this book, it's very different. I kind of have to sort of fall into this yogic perspective, but it looks at prosperity in a very different way, and I really appreciate it. When people are reading this book, what is it you hope they take away from The Jewel of Abundance?
I hope that people take away that prosperity is innate, that it is natural for us. And not only is it natural, it is a spiritual pathway for fulfilling our divine potential. Uh-huh. So one of the ways I've described it is being the growing edge of love, you know, with a capital L.
Ooh, I like that. The growing edge of love.
Yeah. So I think that's what we're all here to do, you know, to be that growing edge of love. And we're wired for that, and we have what we need to do it. So that's what I hope people, I hope they're inspired. I hope they, you know, discover how to more deeply connect with that prosperity imperative that is within them.
Right.
And, you know, get on with it.
Yeah. And it's in there, and we can make the choice to step onto that path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And allow it to be a joyful path.
Yes. Yes, that is so important. People forget that, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's in there as the goal of life, you know,
right.
to enjoy your life. Yeah. So that should be included in anything that we're doing.
I love that. Ellen, I want to thank you for joining us here today. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I'm thoroughly enjoying your book. I'm not quite to the very end of it yet, but I will continue to move through it and see what I need to tweak in my life in order to allow my wholeness to shine through and welcome prosperity in all areas of my life. Ellen, thanks a lot for joining us here today.
Thank you, Christine. It's been an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be on your program and to connect with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for joining us here today. We have these conversations for your sake. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.